You may go to your neighbor's houses, as I did, and find them sipping coffee at 10 in the morning, surrounded by tidy areas and shining surfaces. You, on the other hand, don't want to invite others to your place. If you are like I was, you may not even want to spend much time there yourself. Too much disorder, clutter, and mess. That translates into frustration, emotional drain, and just plain work for you, when you do it. I used to dream of moving into a new apartment, leaving all of my things and maybe even my family behind, and starting over clean. My longing was palpable. I yearned for order, beauty, harmony, peace, anything to get the burden of messiness off my back. Deep down, I knew it wasn't about the house. If my imaginary apartment had become real, it would have become just as cluttered, with or without my family, as the house I wanted to leave behind. It was about me. I was the one constant that made every place I lived the same. I was doing something, something mysterious that I was unaware of, that invariably muddled my environment wherever I went. What was it? As it turned out, there were several things, things that are addressed in this audiobook, things that are at work in your life as they were in mine without your knowledge. The proof of their existence is evident as you look around you. For us all, no matter our location or circumstance, the house first starts to change in the heart and mind. Buy into the concept that the condition of your house reflects important things about you that need to be addressed. As I have already stated, it's not about the house. Nor is it about working harder or faster or even smarter. The smog of clutter around you will begin to lift as fresh thoughts and feelings sweep into your life. Working to alter the condition of the house will force you to examine and change what is going on there in relation to yourself. Its condition won't permanently change until you have addressed some of these important basics. Once you do, the house will be automatically transformed just as mysteriously as it became a mess because you have been transformed. Then, some morning, when you're sitting in your neat house sipping tea, your distressed neighbor may come to your door to escape the chaos she is fighting in her own house. And in the comfort you have created, you may say, "Come right on in. Have a seat, honey. Let me tell you what happened to me." Part 1. Understanding the Messy Mindset. The secret to change lies in the way we think about messiness and neatness. Somewhere in this section, you will find yourself and your way of thinking. Not all types will apply to you, but you will discover some destructive thought patterns that are so much a part of you that they seem normal. They are an important part of your housekeeping problems. Many women keep neat houses without being compulsive, and it's because they think differently from the way you do. You will find out their secret and learn to make it your own. Accepting yourself. Few people realize that the Goonie bird and the albatross are the same bird with different names. On land, it is the Goonie bird, ungainly and inept. In the air, it is the albatross, king of the sky. Messies are like this bird. In the area of organization, we are at our weakest, floundering in our attempts to be neat. Like the Goonie bird, we have no way to avoid functioning in our weak area. But like the albatross, we do have our sky. Messies function beautifully in many ways, soaring easily in our areas of strength. While we struggle to improve in the organizational area, we find satisfaction as we soar in other areas. Messies, however, usually don't see the beautiful side of themselves. All they see is the Goonie bird, and they don't like what they see. As a result, messies treat themselves badly. They're not very nice to themselves, not very nice at all. This is not evident at first, however. Messies are vibrant people who seem to participate in life to the hilt,